Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the She Wakes Up at 5 a.m. podcast. My name is Lindsay.
And I'm Kellyanne.
And we are back. We are your hosts, if you didn't know already.
Welcome.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, my gosh.
Welcome, welcome. It's another week, you guys, and we are happy that we are not talking about Kate Middleton anymore.
Sure are. I will not be talking about this anymore.
Like, please remove us from the chat.
Take me out of the group chat.
Take me out of the group chat. We are done. Let the girl be. She was seen and everyone commenting that it was not her. I'm sorry to break it to you guys, but it was.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of bordering on like when people thought that Lilibet wasn't Lilibet when Megan was carrying her in Costa Rica. There was like that pap photo. Don't go search for it. Please don't do that. Yeah. But it's like giving that. I'm like, we got to let it go. She's out. She's fine. Well, we don't know if she's fine, but she's out. And she's sign of life. That's all I wanted. I just wanted a sign of life.
Right.
And we got it. And let's move on.
Yeah. And it was so funny because so many people, I think, wanted it to be this big, elaborate craziness. And, you know, it honestly still could be, but we will probably never know. It could be the Megan made Kate cry story, like comes out like 4 months after the wedding. And, you know, could be getting insight after we see her like in an official capacity. So I just want everyone to just, you know, the whole like part 50 things that I've been seeing on TikTok, like we got to stop. Like we got to stop.
Yeah.
Like it's just too much.
And we're still going to like hear briefings about this because Clarence House and Kensington Palace are at war for sure. So you're still going to hear things that are going to come out here and there, especially because Camilla's in charge right now.
Literally in charge.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's very funny to me because now more photos are being deemed as manipulated. Like the Queen's people are confused of why a Photoshop photo of a family could be bad is because it's not just any family. It's not Khloe Kardashian. It's not Khloe Kardashian face tuning the crap out of her body and her face.
Right.
Like the royal family is more than just a celebrity. And I know Americans don't necessarily understand it because we don't have one. But when they release photos, like a family photo, family portraits, anything, it is considered official, an official part of history. That photo was the last photo that we have of a public photo that they've shared of the Queen with majority of her great-grandchildren. So that is going to be put in the history books. And now the AP has said that there's several parts of that photo that have been manipulated. And you cannot manipulate photos that are supposed to be historical artifacts, basically.
Yeah, this is kind of the downfall of things like AI and where we're going in terms of technology. All the authenticity is gone. I mean, we see it with like filters on social media and stuff, and it's a little scary. But I think there's trends that are pointing us back in the right direction, which I'm excited about and hopeful that they'll catch on. One of them, actually, not to segue, have you seen the whole thing about quiet luxury skin?
I have not.
Okay, so this is an article. It's from Pop Sugar UK. We'll link it in the show notes. But it's saying that there's going to be a big movement in the beauty world where less is more when it comes to foundation and base makeup, which like natural base makeup is not new. So like, but what is new is that it's a step towards realistic expectations for natural skin texture, and they're calling it quiet luxury skin or skin minimalism. So a lot of people apparently at the BAFTAs, this is where it kind of came from, were looking like real people. So like, and of course the examples that they use are like Phoebe Denever, who has like the most beautiful skin you'll ever see. But in reality, on the carpet, she was just like, in terms of like base makeup, she really was only wearing concealer. But it's interesting because it's sort of like celebrating our skin. And I've heard a lot of talk on social media about how much older Gen Z and Gen Alpha look because they are already doing things to their skin. They're already using really strong ingredients on their skin. They're trying to look like people who are not their age, and why millennials are aging, quote unquote, better is because we are like kind of just doing what we have with, because we did the thick foundation. That was the 2010s. That was like cut crease and like salt, like ashy contour. We did all that when y'all were like five. So it's like interesting to see. I just said y'all.
Wow.
Lindsay, you're rubbing off on me. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my gosh. Yeehaw. But it's just interesting to see how the beauty, I find all this very interesting. I find how beauty trends change really interesting. So I thought that was kind of cool. I thought that was exciting to see that it was like, this is a quote from the article, but it says, "I'm passionate that getting older is a good thing. And rather than constantly trying to reverse the clock, we should be proud of every fine line and wrinkle as they tell our stories. This is the reason." So this is from, okay, so the article is written by Lauren Ezekiel. And it says it's the reason that she's always avoided tweakments and instead it just stuck to a solid routine to promote positive aging. I also kind of hate, I hate the term anti-aging.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's really detrimental to women specifically. I've heard it being rebranded, of course, as like preserving wellness,
That's funny.
Which I guess is better than like anti, but it just made me laugh. I was like, okay, it's, I mean, it's a little bit more palatable, but it's still just saying, you're saying anti-aging just with different words.
Well, I think this trend, so-called trend, is coming from the heels of post-COVID, because COVID was very skin heavy in terms of no one was really putting on makeup, no one was going to work. So everyone focused on their skin. So that makes perfect sense, because the beauty industry in general boomed during COVID. So many people came out with skincare lines, makeup lines, and majority of the products are skin like base. Like that is their whole, I mean, obviously people will always have full coverage products, but a lot of companies are coming out with like skin like minimal coverage, because everyone is starting to see that like if you just have a youthful type of glow or skin like skin or skin on skin, whatever it's called, they will, you know, it just feels more natural. And I think everyone's trying to do that. I mean, every trend and every iteration of whatever is happening, I think skin will always be kind of like the main focus until something else comes about, unless another generation comes up and decides they want a full beat. So,
I think it's also in the same,
I was just about to say, I will not be doing that. So we won't, I will not be doing a full beat unless I will be on stage performing. But then again, that's not happening.
Period. It's basically your skin, but better. So, and it's interesting because it comes on the heels of all of these celebrities getting their fillers resolved or having their things reversed, all their work reversed. It means sort of looking through the skin through a more like holistic focus. So it's interesting to see where it's going to go. I kind of love it. I think people have been doing it. Some of the really smart celebrities or public figures have already been doing it. I really feel like Meghan Markle's been doing that forever. She doesn't, you know, I don't think she never looks like she has a ton of makeup on. Sophia Richie does a great job at it as well. Gwyneth Paltrow has been doing it for years. So I think it's interesting. It's interesting to see how things, the pendulum swings back, you know?
For sure.
So yeah, that was just, I thought that was interesting. I just wanted to bring it up and see what your thoughts were. Speaking of Sophia Richie, the girl is sponsored.
She is sponsored. She's like, we got to pay for this child one way or another.
Yeah.
I want to preface because I love her, like love her down. But
right, me too.
We have come to the consensus that she has way too many sponsorships at the moment. And not necessarily like she can't like go out and like get her bag. Like that is not what we're saying, but
make that money, girl.
Make that money. I mean, it's like Kim Kardashian back in the day. She was selling like weight loss pills and doing a Carl's Jr. commercial on the same day. Like, it's literally that, or doing Skechers. She was doing everything, but she had to because she wanted to be relevant and she wanted to be top of mind and she wanted to be a celebrity. Sophia Richie is not that. And she comes from a very iconic family. She has an iconic father and an iconic sister. So she, I mean, I understand what she's trying to do. She's trying to like separate herself and trying to make a name for herself. And she kind of became like this it girl overnight during the summer because of her wedding. And so I'm sure that they were trying to capitalize on all of that buzz. But I think they are trying to operate in the lens of she's an influencer instead of a celebrity. And because I don't look at her like a influencer. I look at her as a celebrity.
I really liked her. I mean, I still love her. Like, don't get me wrong. I really liked her when she like kind of became famous overnight because she was very selective with the partnerships that she used. Like, she talked a lot about nude sticks because that's what she used at her wedding. You know, Jo Malone was a great fit for her because she is that quiet luxury girl with the makeup and the hair, and the wedding was stunning and it's like less is more, and she's really good at that. But like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot. So it's Prada Beauty, David Yurman, Kate, Nexus. That one came out of left field for me. Jo Malone, still.
David Yurman.
I just had her Instagram up. I think I said that. David Yurman. sorry. Solid and Striped, which I thought it was going to be like Sophia Richie's brand.
That's what I'm confused because I thought she was coming out with her own line. And
she just designed a collection for another brand.
Which is fine. I mean, I guess it can show like your creative chops and like see how well it sells.
And it's all beautiful. Yeah. It's all beautiful. But I thought the way it was presented, I thought it was going to be her, like same. Sophia Richie Grange
same.
Clothing. SkinCeuticals.
Yes.
And then is there one more? Derf Avenue. Mm-hmm. So that was the pajama collab over the Christmas. I think that one's over. But yeah, it seems like it's a lot. And like, she doesn't need all of it. Like the Nexus, maybe the Nexus was a choice because it would be more affordable than her other ones. Because Jo Malone's not affordable. Kate's not affordable. SkinCeuticals isn't affordable.
David Yurman's not affordable.
So maybe that's the thought process behind it. But I think we could have cut one.
Yeah.
Like, I think we could have cut one.
Yeah. And it's hard because I think – Jo Malone fits so well with her because, you know, she talks about like that the candle that was in her like in-law's house. And she's like, what does that smell? Like all this stuff. And like, she comes from like, it's a British brand, and her husband and his family are British. And so they kind of have that tie. So I was like, that's a perfect combination. Same with David Yurman. Like, she's very highbrow. Like, her wedding was her whole entire wedding was Chanel. I mean, you don't get more highbrow than Chanel. So, yes.
And like custom Chanel.
Yeah. Like, so it was very, I'm very confused about the strategy here because
me too.
You know, it's a fine line because you want to be able to still be relatable, that relatable girl that people fell in love with you on TikTok. I mean, most people knew about her, but people didn't realize like she's actually kind of like cool. You know, she was kind of standing in the shadows of.
We literally have an episode called So Relatable and So Rich because that's who she is.
Right. And so she was, most people who've been paying attention, she was dating Scott Disick for a very long time. She's a very different person back then, or at least aesthetic wise. And so I feel like now she's so grown up, or she appeals to be grown up, even though she's still so young. I don't know. I feel very not conflicted, but I'm just confused about her strategy, what her PR team's doing, and like why they're doing it.
I'm wondering because now that I'm looking at it, it's one of each, I guess, genre for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Like Nexus is hair, Solid and Striped is apparel. SkinCeuticals is skincare. Jo Malone is fragrance. David Yurman is jewelry. Prada Beauty is makeup. And Kate is another fashion. But was that – I don't know if that was a collaboration or if she just went to the show.
I think she just went to the show.
Okay. So then she literally just has one of each category.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if she's just building, I wonder if she's building like a portfolio of sorts. It's an interesting strategy to have one in each category. I didn't put that together until literally just right now.
Yeah. I mean, she could be building, trying to see where she can dip her toes in.
Maybe she's like literally crowdsourcing.
Yeah. I mean, could be.
Through these partnerships, which is kind of smart. Yeah,
because, I mean, she can probably, I mean, honestly, this girl couldn't, she doesn't need to work if she doesn't want to.
No.
But, no, not at all. No, she wants to work and she wants to have something. I don't know what her vision is. I mean,
the only thing she's missing is tech.
Right. I mean, that could come later. I mean,
the Hatch sponsorship comes through. Works for the baby. I think they make great baby monitors. Yeah, or the Aura ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Didn't think about that.
Yeah,
interesting.
I mean, the sky's the limit. I mean, her sister has a very successful clothing brand and jewelry line.
Yes,
you know, her sister is kind of like the pinnacle OG influencer. Her and Paris Hilton. So she could be taking a page out of her book. But I personally don't think she needs to, because not saying that she can't make a name for herself apart from her sibling and her father, but I don't think she needs to go into that route, because to me it makes it look like I'm just grabbing cash for every direction and not necessarily like I'm trying to be strategic of what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's interesting. I wonder what the end game is there. And I wonder if there'll be like a tech one coming out soon. It's interesting. Nicole Richie is great. She's a great resource for Sophia for sure. And I was interested to read that, and no one's confirmed this, so this is unconfirmed, but allegedly Meghan Markle has been working with the same stylist as Nicole Richie.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Which I thought was great. I think that's a great fit.
Because a couple episodes ago, we said that she didn't have a stylist. Right. But I'm glad, because I feel like she needs one.
She needs one if she's going to go into the lifestyle space. If she's going to be – because the thing is, what people don't realize, and we'll talk about her brand in a second, is that once she launches this brand, there's going to be a press tour. So she's going to be, I would hope so, but I can't see WME being like, just launch the brand and don't do a tour about it.
Right. No, I think as you know, she obviously has great style.
Yeah,
that's no question. But I think to have kind of like, I really want like a style architect for her to build her like signature, not necessarily signature, because I don't know if people really have signature styles anymore, but kind of like when we see her, we know that she would be in something like that, or like
just like to kind of, yeah, style. I think she's really good at day-to-day styles.
Yes.
Which I agree with you on what you're saying. But I think like for events and press and talk shows and stuff, you need someone to put a full look together that will work in a slideshow of previous looks. I see what you're saying, and I totally agree. I think she can, like, day-to-day street style, she nails it every single time, in my opinion.
Yes.
But I agree, for certain things, like if she's going to join the lifestyle space, if she's going to launch this brand to connect to the public, she's going to have to do some sort of an outreach in terms of press, whether that be podcasts, whether that be, I mean, I think that the Abigail Spencer thing on the Kelly Clarkson show, I think she'll be on the Kelly Clarkson show for sure.
Right.
Like, I think we'll start to see her do certain things. And if she's going to be doing those things, she's going to need, she's going to need help.
Yeah.
She's going to need to add someone to the team.
Well, and it's not necessarily like, oh, you know, she can't do it by herself. I mean, there's plenty of people.
That's not what I'm saying.
No, I'm just saying for people listening, will, because Blake Lively dresses herself, and you can tell she dresses herself, and I love Blake Lively, but like sometimes the things she puts together, my girlfriend, go back inside
just a lot.
And just go
a
lot. Like, yes,
it's like, what's the rule, take one thing off. Yes,
for real. But I think for Meghan specifically, like having a team to just help, especially if you have things back to back to back and like just your head something, so that's the last thing you're worrying about is what you're wearing.
Exactly. I was just about to say the same thing. Like at the end of the day, if she's going to join this space and she's going to have so many other things to worry about, like planning out her outfits, she's got to outsource it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we don't
and
have,
I'm we're sure not. She has help, but like in terms of like her researching or figuring out what she wants to wear, I'm sure like it's all of her choices, but because certain things, like there has to be some like middleman, you know, I'm sure like she has, yeah. has an assistant that reaches out to people and all that stuff.
Sure. Sure.
And I'm looking forward to and replacing that with having, assistant.
I mean, no girl, speed into the universe.
Just kidding. Not an assistant. I need to be paid more.
So yeah, that's the latest with, so that was like a very easy segue. So, okay. So if you missed it, Megan launched, finally, we woke up a few days ago and Meghan Markle had launched her lifestyle brand, which is called American Riviera Orchard.
When I tell you, I never call.
I was on the phone with my health insurance company and I saw a missed call from you and I went, something's wrong.
I was like, pick up.
Did someone die?
Pick up.
I was like, are we okay? And I literally texted you. I said, did you mean to call me? We've spoken on the phone once. Our whole life, our whole friendship is text messages and voice notes. And I was like, no, she's not calling me unless someone died or there's like life, earth shattering news about Meghan Markle.
And this is earth shattering.
And this is earth shattering. We finally got a launch.
Earth shattering. We got a launch. We have an Instagram.
Yep.
And
it's verified.
Yes, it's verified. We obviously said on the last episode about her, you know, not going back on Instagram. She spoke about it during the South by Southwest panel.
Yeah.
And I think that was obviously for her personal Instagram account.
For sure.
Obviously, because now we have this. And so far, all we know is just a landing page and a sign up for a newsletter, mm-hmm. mailing list. Mm-hmm. And we do what we do and we sleuthed the internet and looked at the copyright and we found that it's going to be a lot of home goods. Think Joanna Gaines / Martha Stewart.
Yeah. Big lifestyle energy.
Yeah. And everyone was saying, oh, it's going to be Goop. It's going to da da da. I was like, no. I mean, like I could see Goop and I could understand why people would compare her to Goop.
Skincare doesn't land for me with her. I don't think. For me, the food makes more sense because it goes all the way back to the Together cookbook. Like this has always been something she's been interested in. Always.
And even back with the TIG, everything was, she had a very food focus part of the TIG.
Yeah.
I mean, the TIG is named after her favorite wine. And she talked about several times how, you know, she, I think it was, I don't know if it was on her, oh, it was in the cut. She talked about how she enjoys making breakfast for her husband and her kids every morning.
Yeah.
And like she's kind of, she loves to cook and she loves to be, I'm not going to say the word because people get really irritated when you say trad wife, because I don't think of it as a negative, but whatever. She just likes to cook.
I think because the connotation with trad wife is that it's a woman who doesn't have an identity outside of being.
Right. But I don't – people who like to cook and are getting labeled or like make food content are getting labeled trad wife.
Oh, interesting.
And I don't think that's fair.
I agree.
Because it's like there's – who cares? Like people can have traditional roles at home, but they can still own their own business outside of home.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, so – and
if you're a wife and a mother and that is fulfilling for you, that's great.
Yeah. And I know a lot of them.
Yeah.
But I think this space is like, I definitely see this. I can see like, you know, I can see like a brick and mortar like one day, because it says like Montecito, and I'm guessing that it's going to be very locally sourced. I don't know if she is like working with a manufacturer that's making all of this stuff, or she's like bringing in different like artisans to sell on her site. We don't know yet.
We don't know anything.
We don't know anything. Just we have the landing page on the website. We have the Instagram account. It's like over 500K.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's over 500,000 followers on Instagram.
So, but it was cool to see. It was like going up 200K like a minute. Like it was, I was watching. I was like, oh my gosh. And then we had a little teaser trailer on their story. And like, she is arranging flowers. She's in the kitchen. Like she has this beautiful, like black, not a gown. It just looks like a big sundress.
No, people are saying it's the thing. It's what she wore to the dress that she wore to the Bob Marley movie.
Interesting. It could be.
Yeah.
I saw different straps. So maybe, it was a skirt. So it could be. But yeah, so that's what we know. And we are excited. Hopefully we'll get more information, And people, again, people are having issues with her using on the Instagram by the Duchess of Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex. And, people are saying, oh, she's using her title to make money. I was like, you guys, I don't understand what you want her to do. I don't know
how many different ways we can say this. She married the Prince of England. Now she has titles. It's not rocket science. I don't understand why this is so hard for everybody else to understand. Eugenie is the daughter of a prince. She is called Princess Eugenie. She is not a working member of the royal family. Eugenie and Beatrice are the same as Meghan and Harry. They are the same level in terms of working. I'm going to say it one more time for the people in the back who refuse to listen. Take your muffs off and hear me when I tell you that this woman married the Prince of England and now she has titles. That's it. It's not that deep. It's not that hard. It's not that serious. She is Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, because she married Harry, the Duke of Sussex. She's also the Marchioness of something else too, but she's not using that.
It's just
so like, yeah. Everybody take a breath. Okay. It's not that deep. Thank you. That's all. Case closed. Now the mystery is solved, Nancy Drews. Go about your life, you Karens. I can't. Anyway,
it's so aka the chicks in the office. I'm having an episode about it. And I'm just like, you guys are, so, this is why they hate Americans, because we're dumb and they can't, we can't.
But there's so many Brits who are also saying this too, who are like, why is she using the titles? Please give me a break.
Well, it's that's the thing. I mean, Princess Diana still used her title when she was
divorced Prince Charles and then say, I'm Diana Spencer.
No.
Come on now.
She's Princess Diana. She is Diana, Princess of Wales. Yes. That was her title. Mm-hmm. And the Duchess of York, Fergie, still uses her title.
Divorced.
Divorced,
beheaded, died.
It doesn't – like people think when they said that they are leaving the royal family, meaning that they are no longer royals. And that is not the case. Mm-hmm. They are just not working members. It's like you are in a – job and you are no longer part of that company, right? But this job happens to be your family, so you're no longer, but that doesn't mean that you're no longer your last name, like because that's what it is. Like
perfect example,
Sussex is their last name, and their last name could change depending on when William becomes king, if he decides to give them new titles.
Right. Like if you think about it this way, for all the TikTokers out there, Alex Earl's father owns Earl Construction in New Jersey. I see their trucks all the time. They are everywhere. If Alex worked for her company, she would be called Alex, her father's company, she'd be called Alex Earl. If she left her father's company, she'd still be called Alex Earl. It doesn't matter. It's not, it's a job. It's a job in a firm and an institution. And it's not that deep. It's not that serious. Her name is Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex. Move on. That's all. It's not that deep. Right. It's just not.
Correct. Correct, Amanda.
Anyway.
And speaking of titles, the royal family combined Harry and Meghan's bios, or they took them. I don't know if they took them out.
They combined them to one page on the website. Yeah,
they combined them to one page on the website, and they even gave you a link to their new website, the Sussex.com, which I thought was very interesting.
My first instinct for that was to be pissed because I think I think I'm a little triggered every single time. So I'm triggered. This doesn't happen to me, but I'm triggered every single time that they do anything about Harry and Meghan. I'm like, what is it? I'm like, my dukes go up immediately. But in actuality, I actually don't think it's that bad. I think it just is easier to consolidate them because they are one unit and they have both of their individual bios on there. Meghan's is very nice. They said her acting career was successful. I said, who wrote this? So it's very, they're two very nice bios and they direct you right to their site. It's very much like, they used to work for us, they don't anymore. Here's their website. That's literally the whole point. I don't know. It's not that deep, I don't think. But Hello Magazine wrote a crappy article. They were like, why they were deleted from the royal family. I'm like, you guys, come on.
It's not, they're not deleted. No. It's just they were combined. And that's what everyone, that, see, that's the thing. People, the media thinks everyone's dumb because they know that people only read the headlines. People are not actually going to click on the article and actually read or go to the website and see it for themselves. Right. If they keep on scrolling, they'll see them. But the fact that Andrew is still on the website is beyond me. But
I can't even go there.
I hope everyone who maybe was not tuned into the royal family and after this past week and a half can attest that this family is freaking wacko.
Yeah, it's whack. All right. So anything else to talk about with Meghan's new brand?
Nope.
Okay, great.
One thing is I'm buying everything. Like I literally told you, I was like, I'm going to be poor.
Yeah.
And I'm going to furnish my entire apartment with everything, like my kitchen. Like if she's selling a bowl, I'm buying it. If she's selling a pillow, I am buying it.
Right. I love that for you. I think for me, I'm more excited to get more information. We haven't really like been let into her life in 7 years.
Right.
And like, listen, you and I are the same. Like we were both huge fans of the Tig.
Right.
We got so much access to her and her travels and her friends and her life and who she looked up to and who she was interested in and what she was eating, what she was doing and makeup she loved and makeup she was using on set. Like she was a legit influencer. Like and she had an Instagram. You could see where she was and she got flowers for her apartment and what her dogs were doing. Like we used to have all this access to her. And then she joined this family and all of that went away. And I understood because I understood the system, but it's now that she's been out, I've really missed that. She has great taste. And she's got great recipes and she's got a really great sense of style. And I used to love reading her blog posts on the Tig. So I'm really excited to get this access back to her. I mean, I know it's controlled, obviously, but like it's really nice. It's going to be really cool to like see what she's using and what she likes and what she's making for Archie and Lily and what kind of smoothies she drinks. And like that stuff to me is what I'm excited about. I mean, if I can afford to buy the stuff, I will. But like in reality, I'm more so just excited to see what she's doing because we haven't gotten any access to her in years.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And I hope, you know, obviously with this and then the new podcast, whatever she ends up talking about on there, I think hopefully we can get to know. And that's the thing with podcasts, you have to like go, if you're going to a podcast, you're going there to be entertained, either to be entertained or to learn something.
Yes.
And so, you know, she has to deliver both. And I think she will. And I mean, she did that way with Archetypes. So I'm very curious of what
I can't wait.
This new podcast is going to be about, if it's going to tie into this new brand. There are rumors that it's going to be a Netflix cooking show of some sort. And I think that is totally up her alley. If you remember, if you're an OG fan, you remember she did a cooking segment on the Today Show with Matt Lauer, who is no longer a part of that organization.
Nope, man, that's that.
And so
he gotta go.
Yeah, so she did that, and so this to me feels supernatural. No, not supernatural, but super
feels like vampires. Just I'm just watching a lot of Vampire Diaries, you guys. That's really what it is.
No, but this just seems natural for her, and so for a show and everything, this feels more natural than maybe makeup. I think, beauty, because I feel like maybe it will be kind of look as frivolous.
Well, I think for her, because she's such a laid back California gal, and I think the only time she really wore a lot of makeup was for suits.
Yeah.
And for events and stuff. So I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm wondering if she'll do like similarly to like how Hailey Bieber did the kitchen, her little YouTube show. I wonder if she'll do if she'll have guests. Like each episode, you know, like David Letterman, every episode he interviewed a different person. It'd be cool if like every episode she cooked with a different person. That'd be really fun.
Yeah. I think that could be a route. I don't know. I mean, I can watch her do whatever she wants.
And yeah. I'd watch her like paint a wall or read the phone book.
Or garden.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. I know
nothing about plants, but I will watch.
Yeah. She could teach me and then I'd be a plant mom. You know what I mean? Like, I'm down. Do whatever you want me to do, Megan, I'll do.
I'm dead.
Okay. So you want to talk about Love is Blind? I feel like everyone's talked about it. I don't care anymore.
I don't really care. It's just the reunion was, I just don't care.
Think Nick and Vanessa are very well. So let me tell you, the only thing I will say is I got a sick, sick sense of satisfaction watching Trevor have to answer for himself.
He was too stunned to speak.
Literally, the man was too stunned to speak.
Was like, were you silenced? Were you silenced? Because his face was just like, his mouth was dropped.
It's the funny, now we can joke about it because obviously like Kate was seen out at the farmer's market, she's fine. But the meme that was like, were you photoshopping? Or were you photoshopped? That, I laughed so hard. Now that we know she's okay, it's funny. Anyway, but yeah, literally, were you silent or were you silenced?
He was silenced.
Oh my God. I have such a pet peeve for men who knowingly label themselves as toxic.
Mm.
I've dated one of those and I have nothing makes me want to punch a wall more than hearing a man be like, I'm toxic. What?
Yeah.
Because
it's like, it's to me, it's like you want to get brownie points for owning who you are. And then like, but also, you know, even though you know that you are this.
I think we're over award. Here's my tangent about dating for the moment. I think we're over awarding brownie points for honesty. Not to quote Taylor Swift, but casually cruel in the name of being honest. Like, I really think we're over awarding brownie points. If I'm driving a car and I say to you, I'm going to hit you with this car, and then I hit you with the car, my honesty doesn't matter because I still hit you with a car. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of these men, at least on dating apps, I just got off Bumble because I just am too tired. But at the moment, we're taking a break because it's rough out there, you guys.
Don't even get me started.
I'm just trying to be honest. I just want to be honest. What do you think that means? Like, what do you think? Maybe don't do the thing that you then have to be honest about because you're going to hurt. Maybe it's more about hurting someone than it is about you being honest. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, that's a tangent. That's an episode for another time. But I could not stop laughing at that man literally asking to leave the set. I was like, he's got to go. Like,
he was the bounty man on the
not the paper towel guy.
Yes, he looked like, I mean, everyone was so dressed up, and I understand like he probably only planned to be there for like 5 seconds.
He looked like he sold insurance.
Yeah, and I'm like, it sucks because I had just listened. Okay, this is a big one for me.
Oh,
okay. I've been listening to a lot of Nick Viall.
Whoa.
I know. And I have been very vocal about how I cannot stand that man. But he is growing on me, okay? He's growing on me.
He gives pretty good dating advice, I will say that.
No, he definitely does. I'm just
And hater. I appreciated he had Sandoval and Schwartz on.
Oh, and he Rumbles, oh, that was a nightmare.
But he handled that so well.
Yes. Like, even how, like, oh, well. Sandoval was like talking to Natalie, I was like, hold up. Back oh, yeah. up.
Like, yeah, I mean, Natalie can really handle herself.
She can. She can. Sure. But I was listening to his recent episode that came out today of how he was interviewing Chelsea and Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
And basically that Jimmy got a really good edit and Chelsea got a really bad edit because she looked like a crazy person. Like, she could not seem to get it together. And what they were saying is a lot of the stuff that they filmed they only filmed like past 5 o'clock. So you don't see all the rest of the day. And she was like, we could be having like the best day, but by the end of the day, we could, you know, be fighting or whatever.
Right.
And
right.
So Jimmy, I guess she claims that he was so concerned about how he was going to look. Like, he always wanted to look like the good guy. And
yeah,
he was stressed. And so he always wanted – the public perception of him was very real and still is. And so he kind of got called out by Nick today. It was kind of funny. He was like, I understand what you're saying, man, but you're not answering the question.
Yeah.
And so I just,
Well, they're friends now, right? Aren't they friends?
Yeah. And like, she's been very like respectful. And like, she's like, I never want to talk bad about him. Like, we're fine. Like, you know, we've talked about it. And he like apologized. He never really apologized, but he definitely said that she didn't deserve all the hate that she was getting.
Do you know what though my friend Erica put together is that he's friends with all the girls he's dated.
Yeah.
And now he's friends with Chelsea.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's a red flag, I think.
Yeah.
Sorry, if you're a dude and all your friends are girls and you've dated them.
And I would say the same thing with girls too. If all your all your friends are guys.
I'm kind of in a weird place with that right now, actually. I was thinking about that recently. It's like I've had like platonic straight male friends my whole life. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm in my 30s, I used to like, people would say, oh, I don't think men and women can just be friends. And I'd be like, no, I have like male friends and I'm good and whatever. And like, I'm now sort of at the point in my life where I'm like, I actually don't know if I can have platonic straight male friends.
Especially when you were single and looking.
While I'm single and like actively looking, like it's a very interesting dynamic shift in my life personally.
It's a mind, you know what? It messes with you because like you like know this person and you're probably contemplating like, well, why aren't we together? You know?
Right. Like, and you're like, yeah, I have like a couple of male friends who I've been really good friends with for years and years and years. And our friendships have shifted in the last few years because I'm actively looking for someone and so are they. So it's like, I used to really like die hard believe like, yeah, no, you can have plenty of platonic male friends if you're a girl and it's totally fine. And like, if you're single and it's like, I actually don't know if that's true anymore.
No. And like, I used to be so upset when like my guy friends will get like girlfriends, not because they got a girlfriend, it's because they would like, I'm dust.
Because the friendship changes.
Yeah. And, but totally. It's true though. Like your guy friends will like, you will either date them or you won't be friends anymore because eventually one of you will get married or both of you will get married. And that person that you're married to is your best friend.
They should be. They should take precedence over. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what just happens. Like you won't, it's, you know, especially if like, oh, like, I don't know if I want to date my best friend. And it's either you will or you won't. It's, you know, men and women being friends, there's a lot of, especially in our 30s, and if you are single, it's a lot of like, especially when they are really nice and they like, I don't know, maybe help you with things. They're doing like boyfriend things without the physical stuff.
Uh-huh. Sure are. Yep.
So it's like you're having like this real boyfriend-girlfriend relationship without the actual
Like the lines get confusing, right?
The lines get confusing. People start catching feelings or like you'll start contemplating like, should we be together? Or like
– yeah, absolutely. You know? I do.
So, 100% I do. I mean, some people – I mean, I've been in a situation that I'm like, do I want to ruin the friendship or do I – because the friendship is going to get ruined regardless – unfortunately. So it's either you do pull the plug now or you drift apart later.
Right. And I think for me, like I've had to put up some boundaries with like some of my guy friends who like have made it clear that they're not interested in this anything ever happening. I've sort of have to be like, okay, well, I'm not going to spend my Friday night with you when I could be out meeting somebody else who like wants to be with me. And it's, you know what I mean? Like, and that's not to say like I'm looking to be with that person, but like, it's just not a use of my time if I'm looking for something more substantial. And if I'm looking for a relationship, why am I going to spend my Friday night on a friend's couch where we both know nothing's going to happen? Do you know what I mean? It's just like interesting. It's totally different.
Correct.
I would say this is really a like 30s problem, at least for me. Like I found the biggest shift for me has been in my 30s versus my 20s. In my 20s, I was very down to have a lot of platonic male friends. But now I'm sort of like, it's just like not how I want to spend my time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my guy friends are very few, I would say, that are, I guess, people I talk to a lot.
Yeah, same.
And I think we are to the age where, like, if we are talking a lot, like, we're like, okay, so someone's must be thinking what's going on here.
Oh my God. And like, you know what I mean? That's the hard thing is like people around you were like, what's going on there? And you're like, nothing.
Yeah. And like, I had a friend who I'm not going to name, cause I'm afraid he might be listening, but I doubt it. But we talked a lot. Like, we would talk on the phone for 3 hours at like sometimes. And I definitely liked him for a very long period of time. And I was too chicken because I didn't want to quote unquote ruin the friendship. But now obviously I don't really care anymore, but that at the time, like everyone was like, why are you talking to him for 3 hours? Like, why isn't he like pursuing you in this way? I'm like, and that's the thing. Guys get comfortable because they don't want to say like, they're like, oh, I only think of you as a friend, but they're already getting girlfriend like,
privileges
without actually actively. It's like platonic girlfriends are placeholders for their girlfriend.
Exactly. It's a hard truth, unfortunately, to hear. Sorry if you're in this right now, but it's that's so true. You should save that energy for the person who wants to make you his girlfriend.
Period.
Wait, speaking of I don't know where I was going with this. Speaking of male friends, I guess is the segue. I am loving Summer House this year. I'm obsessed. I look forward to it. It feels like old times.
Yes.
The newbie casting is absolutely, it's sublime. It's so good. It's so well done. Jesse and West are the perfect additions to this house.
Yes. Like they're just a good time and they're not creepy.
No, they're not creepy and they're not there to like for the wrong reason. Like, I don't know how to say this, but I don't get the feeling that they're there for just like only to build a platform the way that like other guys in the house previous seasons. I'm like, oh, you're here to promote your business. You're here to be an influencer. You're here for all of these things versus like West, who's like just trying to have a good time and date Sierra. That man, I'm rooting for those two. Like, I rooted for Harry and Meghan. I'll be honest. I just think they're so cute. I think he is so funny. Yes. And even Jesse, like, I think, listen, well, we talked about this. Mm-hmm. I have such a crush on Jesse Solomon because he, like, we could do a whole episode on this probably, but like, I think of them as like, they're like dumb turn-ons, but like things that small things that guys do that like they don't even think about, but like, it's like when they back out of a driveway, like putting their hand on your headrest or like, I don't know. It's like bigger than it's like smaller than opening a door. And one of the things for me is like wearing like a guy who like wears glasses in the morning and like looks a little like disheveled and like nerdy. And he like in the kitchen with those glasses, I was like, uh-oh, sir, you better not come to Jersey because I'm gonna date you. But
Mazel.
Literally Mazel. But I love West. West on that first date was so cute.
He was so okay. He had for people who are not watching, this man showed up with a sheer black shirt on. And it was so hysterical because he was sweating and it was so hot.
Oh my God.
So they're at dinner and he's literally sweating. And like, she was like, are you sweating?
He was so nervous. And I mean,
like, if people don't watch the show, like Sierra is literally a 10
She's
a out of 10.
She's a goddess.
Like literally the most beautiful woman on that show. And he's literally about to crap himself because he's
like,
on a date with her.
He can't believe he's on a date with her. It's so cute.
I know. It's so cute. And so, but, you know, I think, I don't know how long it lasts. I don't know if it lasts the whole season, but like, you know, he's a good time and he's funny and he seems to really like her. And like, I don't get like weird, like creepy vibes that like, what's his face was? What was his name?
Which one?
Luke.
Oh God. Goodbye.
He doesn't ooze Luke's energy. Like, he just seems like, okay, this I'm getting off topic, but this will all coincide. There's a term, that's a trend on TikTok. It's called black cat golden retriever.
Oh, hundo B. I talk about this all the time. Yes.
And it compares, sure, like it compares like certain celebrity relationships,
yeah,
and say who's a black cat and who's a golden retriever. Women should be the black cat. The black cat kind of roams around, does her own thing, and will come around when she wants to. And the golden retriever is always chasing after her, the cat. And so there was this girl compared Sophia Richie with Scott and saying that she was the golden retriever and he was the black cat. Mm-hmm. Same with Chloe and Tristan. Chloe is the golden retriever and Tristan's the black cat. And all those relationships do not work.
I'll push back a little. Because I would argue my best friend and her marriage is the golden retriever and her husband is the black cat, but her husband has golden retriever tendencies. So it's got to be like a black cat, golden retriever rising, and that'll be fine. Do you know what I mean? But she's also the black cat in some of her friendships. So like it's either got to be very strong black cat female there, or like more feminine energy in the relationship, very strong golden retriever masculine energy in the relationship, or they both have to be able to flip-flop easily.
Correct. So I think this is a prime example of what that is.
Oh,
and
for sure.
I truly believe that's like how Paige was able to
Craig. Yep.
Like she was just like
Amanda and Kyle, so same thing.
Yes.
I think Amanda's for sure a black cat.
No, but in the beginning, like before they were even like together, uh-huh, she was it was earlier seasons.
Yeah,
she would come over there to hook up with them.
Yeah.
So this is before she was like on the show.
A fairy tale.
So it was interesting to see all that, and then like seeing all these like that TikTok trend. I'm like, seeing it, because you know, no one wants to be the person like. Girls, women out there, we should not be chasing men.
No.
Will come on here and say for firsthand, like I used to do that.
Oh.
And it's embarrassing in my younger years. And I think it comes from a fact that I went to a high school where I was always attracted to the unattainable person. And it was like I was not the popular girl. I had a lot of friends, but I was not popular. So for me, like a lot of guys I liked were unattainable because I was still chasing that whatever that was in high school, like choose me, like I want to be chosen by the whatever these mm-hmm. people are mm-hmm. in my head. So, but I've learned do not chase, attract. We don't chase, we attract.
No, we're not chasing anybody. I'm busy. I just don't have time. Like realistically, I just don't have time. No.
No.
But
anyway. And you should never beg anyone to be with you.
No. 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 God. No. Absolutely not. I feel like we should do a dating episode.
Yes. It's a long awaiting one.
But back to Summer House. I think Lindsay is done.
Wow. Lindsay. Lindsay Hubbard. Hub House is – okay. For those, I mean, I don't know if we did speak about this on an episode a while back, but when Lindsay and Carl called off their engagement, she immediately went on to Instagram.
She went on tour.
She went on tour. Like she was trying to have her Ariana Maddox moment, and she has made it clear that it was Carl who called cameras to come in to see him break up with her. And so we're all like, oh my gosh, like that's terrible. I mean, any type of like calling off an engagement is horrible.
Well,
like,
I don't wish that on anyone. It was so close to their wedding. It was like in 2 or 3 months, I think. She had already had her bridal shower. Like I feel for her because that's something you only want to do once.
Yeah, and she was about to go on her bachelorette weekend, which she ended up doing
with her friend.
But it was with her friends, which was nice.
I felt similarly though when that happened, because last season, right after Carl and her got engaged, the season right around like the season, or I want to say right around the premiere, she did a ton of podcasts too, I think. I remember her being very busy, and I'm being like, why is she like on all of these shows and she's talking to some people? Like, what's she doing? Like, what's going on? And then later you watch the season and basically her and Danielle's friendship completely is shattered. And then this time with Carl, she kind of did something similar where she went on Nick Vial's podcast and she talked to him. And I listened to that episode and I felt really sorry for her. And I was like, wow, something must have happened because he, like, that reaction to call cameras in, it sounds terrible. Right. And now I think he called cameras in so that people would know what happened because
she was already spinning it. He knew her well enough that he knew that she would have this narrative. And there was already a narrative going in the house that he was, you know, acting crazy. Like something, I'm like, okay, for her defense, maybe there was something that was happening at their apartment or whatever. Right. But what we were seeing and what she was reacting to wasn't comparable. Like it was not matching.
Right.
The energy was not matching. Like he is literally like the one part of her yelling at or claiming that he yelled at her in the car. Kyle was there. And like he was like, that didn't happen.
None of them. Yeah. All of them were like, all of a sudden she was really upset. We don't know. Even Gabby was like, I don't know.
Like you should be able to communicate with your partner.
Yeah.
And like she was like, no, girl, we're not doing this. Like,
yes,
you got to be smarter about this. And you know,
yeah, when Gabby tells you like you are responsible for how you communicate and how you like to make sure that you talk to him so that you guys can have a constructive conversation, I was like, oh. And then Lindsay left because her one ally.
Yeah, because she doesn't like to be told no, and she believes everyone is against her, and is like, no, girl, you are literally gaslighting the crap out of this man, and he is still navigating being sober, and for you to bring up cocaine, Carl,
so messed up.
And he was like, "You're supposed to be my future wife, and you keep throwing my past in my face," where he's showing no signs of him doing that. Like,
no,
it's crazy. I'm like, oh my god, like, I was literally so furious. Like, I it made me want to cry.
Well, and the because thing is, he's been through enough. Like, his brother unalived himself. Like, he's had issues with substance abuse. Like, the thing is, like, I've watched, and I know you're too. Like, I've watched the show since season one. So, like, Carl's been there since the top, and like,
yes.
I've seen all the seasons of Carl. I've seen really messed up Carl. I've seen, you know, not the most honorable dating Carl. I've seen Carl with the Workus twins. I've seen all of it. And like,
Workus twins.
Oh my God. Wow.
What a fever dream.
TBT. What a fever dream. Literally a fever dream. Like, so I've watching her. Like now seeing, and like, it's not even just like an internal transformation. The guy looks 10 years younger.
Oh,
like
he looks completely incredible.
If you watch season one of Carl, he looks 10 years older. Like it's wild. So like seeing the full transformation of Carl, and like now Carl makes his bed every morning and goes on runs at 5 a.m. Like season one, Carl would never believe. Like it's wild. So to see that made me so angry.
Right. And to me, like last season, between Lindsay of last season and Lindsay of this season, like her like being so supportive, Carl, and da da da. And like she probably felt that she cannot sustain this in terms of her not being supportive, but like her not drinking and like her not like going out and having fun. And he's not telling her that she can't. And so she made that choice on her own. Like he never told her, like, I don't want you to drink around me. But I literally, it almost made me cry watching him like tell the story about him, about their fight, because it.
Do you mean when he was sitting in the pool talking to his friend? I felt really bad when he was.
Yes.
Yeah. I felt terrible
like
for him.
Me too. It was horrible. And like, it was just so nice. Like Jesse was like, man, like this really is making me upset.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they can tell, you know, what's the deal?
Yeah.
And
totally.
And I don't understand why Lindsay has to always be up here all the time. And why can't she just be like chill? And, you know, I've never seen her get a good edit on the show. And I'm like, is this actually your personality? Are you actually this crazy?
I've never seen her apologize. Like,
never.
Even the reunion with Danielle, he was like, and are you sorry that you – like you have to like spoon feed her. It's why I don't understand. I don't understand how you have any friendships if you can't take any accountability for making mistakes.
Correct.
I think, so, I mean, I don't know her, obviously. Like, I don't know any of these people personally. But for me,
we are literally just talking about these people because they're like characters on television.
Yeah. But I, like, with Lindsay, I've watched her for, I don't know, I think she's, has she been on since season one?
Yeah. She's one of the originals.
I think
because her and Everett were on together.
Oh my God.
When they were dating.
That's right. I think Everett. She is, I think she wanted the dream so bad of like the marriage and the kids and the thing. I think she wanted it so bad. And like having your best friend become your husband, like that is such a fairy tale. I think she wanted it so bad that she was like, I will do whatever I need to do to support you in this sobriety journey. But I want, like, because I want these things. And I don't think it was like a conscious choice, but I think she had like the carrot like dangled in front of her, like, this is a life you could have. And I think she just was like, I'll do whatever it takes. And now you're seeing what, like, more to your point, now you're sort of seeing that she couldn't sustain it and that maybe they're not the right match. They probably would have, I think if they both were in a more healed place, they probably would have dated for a few years, a la her relationship with Everett. And then maybe her next person is her person, but I don't think Carl is her person.
No, I thought it was a weird engagement. I thought it was a weird pairing from the beginning, just for how much he was on a different path than she was.
Yeah. So, and like, you're never supposed to date someone who's not even a year sober. Like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, her disrespect of the process started early. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, but also he's accountable too. He could have just been like, no, we're not doing this
for yet. Sure. Exactly. Yeah, I totally. It's not all on her at all. Not in any way. And LOL, Paige wasn't even there that weekend.
I know. I'm just like, okay.
First, she's gonna yell at the reunion.
I'm just like, listen here. If you're on a television show that only is supposed to be on the weekends,
I know.
I need you to show up.
To defend my girl, to defend my girl Paige, she has almost never missed a weekend.
Correct. But as it should be in your contract, unless there is a death.
Yeah.
In the family.
Yeah.
You need to show up and go to work.
And next weekend, Craig's there.
Yes. Which I'm very interested to see the dynamic with Craig and Jesse.
I know.
Jesse tried to.
Jesse thought he was going to like be buddies, but I feel like they'll probably just have like one conversation. Jesse will be like, yeah man, sorry, my bad, and Craig will be like, right, cool, and that'll be it.
Yeah, I'm there was like on the season trailer there was like some tension between him and Paige, so I'm curious to see what that
Craig and Paige,
yeah, that boils, yeah, down to.
Usually I think they're so smart about how they do their relationship on television, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's Summer House. I'm excited to see what happens this week.
Yes.
Indian Wells is happening in the tennis world.
Yes. And my girl Zendaya, if people don't know,
can we both claim her? Because I love her.
Okay. Sure. Of course.
Our girl, Zendaya. Thank you.
She, is in this new movie called The Challengers. Challengers. And it's about a tennis star who ends up getting into a weird throuple with
– if I had a dollar. Sorry. You know what I mean? Oh, God.
Throuple with these two tennis guys. And so she was at the Indian Wells tournament over the weekend. And it was kind of like – a not promoting the movie, but actually promoting the movie if you're smart. Because celebrities go to like tennis matches all the time. She's been at, she's been at the US Open.
Yeah.
She's been at, I believe, Wimbledon. So I think she's a fan of tennis, but this is also coinciding with her movie that's coming out in April.
Yes.
And Tom Holland was there and they like were shot. They got caught singing along to like Whitney Houston together. I was like, they are so in sync and I freaking love them. They are the cutest ever.
They're so cute. The cutest.
I love him. Love, love, love him. And I
love them together. So I stan.
It's just, they're so perfect. And I think it's just such a, I mean, she just went on literally, I feel like a month-long tour promo tour for Dune 2.
Yeah. And
Mama's so she like pulled out all the looks, and now like promo for Challenger started, and so now you're seeing her in more like a Tennessee type of looks now, and the girl's smart. She got a smart team.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a good way to start promoting your movie you're in that you're playing a tennis star by going to tennis matches.
I think if Meghan Markle had Zendaya on her cooking show on Netflix, I think you would pass away. And then I would end up doing this podcast alone.
Pass away. Like buried me in the ground. Held a funeral.
Send flowers to address.
Yes.
Yes. It is cute to see her. She's so cute. All right. Last but not least, Beyonce released her a little bit more behind the scenes of the thought process behind her new Beyonce album. We're told it's not a country album. This is a Beyonce album. She released a post on Instagram. I think we're 10 days out from her, the release?
10 days. And she released the cover of it. And I predicted the teaser of the cover. I was texting my friend Molly and I was like, this is giving rodeo queen type of the rodeos have actual pageants and they like ride out, like the queen of the pageant rides out on a horse with an American flag. And
I didn't know that. That's what that is?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, so cool.
that's how they start the whole a rodeo. It's the queen that's, I guess, crowned is the one that rides out with the American flag.
That is so cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's that reference. And it's just I think people, I'm just letting everyone know now, this will most likely be her best work.
I'm so excited.
And what I'm hearing is the entire thought this is a 5-year album in the making. I've talked about this on the previous, when she announced
The episode is called part 2. The episode is called Yeehaw, I guess.
Yeah.
Go check it out.
It was the Super Bowl episode, but she was on the CMAs back in 2016, and she the CMAs does these crossover performances with artists from different genres with a country artist. Justin Timberlake has done it with Chris Stapleton and many other people. In this particular year, Beyonce did it with the Dixie Chicks, who the Dixie Chicks have been blackballed.
They have their own history, with the CMAs.
2003 was when they were blackballed from country radio and everything country, period. Like, they have not appeared on that stage since 2003. So it was an ode to that, bringing them back into the fold. And also, all four of them are from Texas. And so it was like this. And mind you, this is the CMAs. It is the
you mean all four of them, the Dixie Chicks plus Beyonce. They're all from Texas.
Okay, yes,
just wanted to clarify.
Yes, yeah. That performance is their highest watch performance of all time of the CMAs. So she goes on in her post promoting.
Hold on, let me. I want to read it. I was going to read the whole thing.
You can definitely read it. But I was just going to say it is, when I tell you this woman is bringing not only receipts, but she's an artist that, and this is, sorry, I'm jumbled. When people, why I was having such a hard time when people would compare Taylor and Beyonce over this past year, it to me, this quality and effort into her work and just how she is as an artist, like they're not the same. And to me, they can't be compared. Not saying that Beyonce is better or what, it's just they are not even on the same playing field, in my opinion, especially with what she has done with this album that's coming out. Like, she is digging deep, like Cowboy Carter, people are thinking that this reason why she's calling this Cowboy Carter is it was this Carter family that was part, they are pretty much the founding fathers of country music. And it was, a person, part of their band, a black man. Cannot remember his name right now, but he was, his signature part of his playing his guitar, that family took that, and that became kind of like a riff on the guitar. They took that as their own. And so basically with the whole Renaissance and now this album, she is reclaiming things that have been taken from the black community, especially the black cowboy community, country music. And I love the fact that she said this is not a country album, because Beyonce is trying to make herself genreless. If you really look at her full body of work, like, she can fit into multiple categories. Will she get nominated in these different categories? I don't know. That's up for debate. I'm just ready, because I feel like I know what's coming, and I don't think a lot of people know what's actually happening here.
I want to read her full statement. Yes. Just so everybody knows. So it says, today marks the 10-day countdown until the release of Act 2, which is Cowboy Carter. Thank you from the bottom of my heart to all the supporters of Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages. Those are her two singles that she released the night of the Grammys. Super Bowl. I feel honored to be the first black woman with the number one single on the Hot Country Songs chart. That would not have happened without the outpouring of support from each and every one of you. My hope is that years from now, the mention of an artist's race as it relates to releasing genres of music will be irrelevant. This album has been over 5 years in the making. It was born out of an experience that I had years ago where I did not feel welcomed, and it was very clear that I wasn't. But because of that experience, I did a deeper dive into the history of country music and studied our rich musical archive. It feels good to see how music can unite so many people around the world while also amplifying the voices of some of the people who have dedicated so much of their lives educating on our musical history. The criticisms I faced when I first entered this genre forced me to propel past the limitations that were put on me. Act 2 is a result of challenging myself and taking my time to bend and blend genres together to create this body of work. I have a few surprises on the album and have collaborated with some brilliant artists who I deeply respect. I hope that you can hear my heart and soul and all the love and passion that I poured into every detail and every sound. I focused on this album as a continuation of Renaissance. I hope this music is an experience, creating another journey where you can close your eyes, start from the beginning, and never stop. This ain't a country album. This is a Beyonce album. This is Act 2, Cowboy Carter, and I am proud to share it with y'all. Honestly, a perfectly crafted statement.
And she doesn't do long captions.
No, she doesn't do long captions at all. So this was cool also, because it felt like I could hear her. Like, in this felt like it was written in her voice. I was so happy to see this and to have her explain exactly where it comes from and call out, like, without saying it, call out that experience with the Dixie Chicks at the CMAs. And it's just really, I think it's going to be an industry changing album. I can't wait.
I'm really excited. I really don't like, and people saying that the last time Beyonce was mad, we got lemonade. Okay. So I'm just letting you know, Miss Girl is like,
she's mad and she's
letting y'all know. And what I love, what she's doing, like, she's, you know, there's so many artists that just make music to just make music. And, but her, she studies, she really goes deep into reason, like, why things were made this way, or, you know, where does this come from? Like, even the banjo itself, like, she probably studied, where did the banjo come from?
Well, she said she goes right into the archives and has learned a lot about where this whole thing comes from.
Yeah. And, you know,
where all of it comes from, I mean,
I've known this because I'm from Houston, but she's been deep in, like, black cowboy culture her entire career. Like, her mom had her dressing as Destiny's Child was dressed as cowgirls all the time, you know, and she rode out on a horse at the Houston Rodeo. And the Houston, I think the cowboy chic, black cowboy type of themes that are happening right now is because of her, or at least they're getting highlighted for her, because Vogue just did a whole spread on the Houston Rodeo.
Yeah.
And it's, people are like, oh, Black people go to the rodeo? I'm like, yes, like we've been going.
Yeah,
we don't, absolutely. You know, it's just part of, and obviously it's a lot of people just don't know the culture here. And a lot of the disconnect is culture based. Like no one truly knows, like, you know, it's not this only these type of people participate in this. Like it's it's very integrated here in this way. And they even have their Black people have, it's called the Black Rodeo. I forgot when it is, but it is just focused on Black, like cowboys and cowgirls and doing the same thing. It's a smaller event, but.
And like to go back to your point about comparing Beyonce and Taylor Swift, and I agree with what you're saying is like, they're on different planets because they function for completely different purposes. Taylor has done so much for streaming, for artists getting rights to their own music, for the bigger conversation about the industry in a totally different way than what Beyonce is doing here. They're both changing the industry in completely different ways. And they're both, it's like apples and oranges.
Right. You know what I mean? Literally.
Literally apples and oranges. So I totally agree with you when what you're saying.
I think it was last week it was reported Dolly Parton said that that Beyonce was cleared for the rights for Jolene.
Oh my gosh. If Dolly's on this album.
You know, I would like to think that she is going to be, but in the way that when Break My Soul came out, she did all these different remixes and she did one with Madonna. And I think if Jolene is on this album, if she's smart, it is.
Yeah.
Then she will definitely bring her on for like a remix or something. I need to know like who else is on this album because if it's like, I'm
curious. Yeah. I'm curious. I think she'll definitely have the Dixie Chicks for sure. I think definitely. Just as like an homage to like where this whole thing came from, I think she'll have it on. I think that. I think Dolly.
I would love to have like Chris Stapleton.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Or I'm trying to think if she could go like old school, like if she's going to bring in like a Faith Hill or a Tim.
That's what I was
thinking.
Or
if she's just going to go and like, you know, propel like other Black country artists.
Yeah, I think you'll definitely have some of them on there, but I think she'll have one like real old school, like Faith Hill. What about maybe Reba? Single mom who works two jobs. Just kidding.
You know, she could cover that song. She could, to be honest, and it would be a bop.
It would be such a bop.
It would be such a bop.
A single mom who works two jobs. So funny.
It's so good.
Good. I'm pumped. Wait. I'm so pumped.
I just wanted to give a shout out to my friend Blair Caldwell. He is the person who shot this album cover. And it is so cool to see someone's inception, like from their inception in terms of where their career started to where it is now. He used to sing worship. He's an amazing singer, by the way. He sang worship at my church. And he was set to sing that Sunday, this particular Sunday. And he got a call from Beyonce's people. Because at the time, I think he was already shooting, doing photography for, Normani. Yes, because they're friends. Because Normani is, I think, originally from New Orleans, but came to Houston because of Katrina, I believe. And Blair is from Texas as well. And so they're friends. And so he had been shooting her photos. And so he gets a call on a set. I think maybe it was Saturday. He got the call to shoot Beyonce's Coachella weekend. And I remember he called our pastor and was like, can I have permission to go? I can't sing this weekend. Beyonce asked me to shoot her a Coachella. And he was like, well, I guess you got to go, man. And then
was he going to say no?
I mean, he would still probably go. But it was just so funny because our pastors told the story on that Sunday. And like, I remember he came after that weekend, he came back and we all like applauded him because it was a huge deal and that changed his life. He has shot with so many people. He's done Kylie. He's done everything. And like, he's done like the past tours with Beyonce. And now he shot this cover and it looks like a freaking painting. It literally, Twitter was having a field day. They were like, it was like a picture between, I think, Paul Revere and Beyonce, and someone said. It was so funny. It's, it's so, but it was funny because, you know, he's on a horse with a flag.
Yeah.
And so that was basically
telling my kids this is Paul Revere.
Yes, it was so funny. There's so many funny things.
Oh my gosh.
What? I'm just so happy for him because this is like.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I think this might be one of her like most iconic album covers because it's just, it looks.
It's amazing.
Sick. Like sick. I'm like, wow, this girl is literally really doing it. And the hair is like the same color
as the horse. I thought that too. I was like, oh, I thought it was so smart. So
her
good.
Team is like she's a genius. She's literally a genius.
Yeah. The teams are teaming.
They've always been teaming.
Yeah.
But I'm just so happy that this is like finally happening. And we're going to like, I don't know who's gonna be judging the Grammys next year, but we got Justin Timberlake, we have Ariana Grande, we have Beyonce, we have Taylor Swift.
Yep.
And Lady Gaga is supposed to be coming out with an album.
Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa's coming.
Yep.
I was just like, wow.
Those Grammys are going to be lit. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Freaking hope. But that is that.
That is that. All right. Well, that's everything, I think.
Yeah, that's all we right. had on we had that's on the list.
That's all we got on the itinerary. If you liked what you heard, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify. And if you like us, it'd be great if you could leave a review. It helps people find the show. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can follow the show, She Wakes Up at 5 a.m. podcast. We also have a Substack that's free to subscribe to where we go more in depth of the things that we talk about in the episodes. If we talk about any links, they'll be on the newsletter. It goes straight to your inbox. It's free. It's called the 5 a.m. group chat. We have a broadcast channel on Instagram as well. Lots of opportunities to connect with us if you're interested. Also, if you like an episode that we do, if you could share it to your Instagram story, get the word out about the podcast. We'd love to build our little community. That'd be awesome. You can follow us individually. I'm at Kellyanne DiCarlo.
And I'm at Lindsay_E_White.
And we both have individual Substacks where we share our own thoughts and feelings about certain things as well. So make sure you check those out. Those are all in our links in our bio. And I think that's everything. All right. Love you guys. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for being with us this week. Follow us on Instagram at She Wakes Up at 5 a.m. podcast. And if you enjoyed our conversation, be sure to rate and subscribe to us so that you never miss an episode. Special thanks to Red Brandt for our theme song. Be sure to find more of his work on Instagram at REDDBRANDT. See you next time.